It's good to see, again, some of our folk from Mountaindale. Appreciate and love them. And I've said this before, they've heard everything I know and some things I probably don't know. Amen. But I appreciate them coming and being with us tonight. Philippians chapter number 2. You find your place and you're able and you can stand with us tonight as we read the Word of God together. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Let's start with verse number 1. The Bible said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Amen. Brother Carl, will you ask the Lord to bless the word tonight?
Heavenly Father, we bow before you again this evening. We come thankful that you blessed us, watch over us, cared for us, let us come this way today.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray that you would be with Brother Eric.
Yes, God.
I pray you bless your word for that part you sent it to. You know, Lord, it'll accomplish that you sent it to do. I pray you give him freedom to speak and liberty to speak. Do that, Lord, and please you, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Carl, for that good, humble prayer. I appreciate that. The book of Philippians, to me, is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I have a lot of favorites, but Philippians is one of my favorite books. And the reason is that the book of Philippians deals with the Christian's life. And if you study the book of Philippians, you'll find that in chapter number 1, it gives us life's purpose. Verse 21, the Bible says it like this: for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is the Christian's life purpose. Amen. For me to live is Christ. Amen. And then in chapter 2, verse 5, we find life's pattern. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and tells us about the humility of our Savior and how he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. I mean, That's our pattern that we're to follow. And then in chapter 2, verse number 13, we find life's power, the Christian life power. He said, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And then in chapter 3, verse 14, we find life's prize. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And then in chapter 4, verse 13, we find the Christian's life, their performance. He said it like this: "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So the book of Philippians is a book about the Christian's life. And I want to look tonight specifically at verse number 13, where he says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now I want to ask you a question tonight. How many stopped and thought today? How many had the thought in your mind that God is working in me? Probably none of us had that thought today. Probably most all of us never stopped and realized and recognized all that God is doing in our life. I mean, we go through our daily life. We go through our normal routines, and everybody has one. And we go through our normal routines and we go through life, and 98% of the time we never stop and think about what God is doing in our life. I mean, hey, every second of every day, God is working in our life, whether we recognize it or not. I mean, God is not an inactive God. Amen. He's always doing something. And the scripture said, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now I want to take that scripture tonight, and I want to preach on this thought. I want to preach on God in you. Have you ever thought about that thought, God in you? I mean, God in you as an individual, God in you personally. Last night we preached on, amen, getting near God, drawing nigh to God, getting closer to God. But tonight I want to preach on God in you. If you're saved tonight, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, amen, you're saved, you've been born again by the grace of God. The fact is that God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, amen, the moment you trusted Christ, God moved into you, amen. The Bible said that our bodies are the temple of the living God, amen. And I want to try to put that in perspective tonight. That verse of Scripture says, amen, that God works in you. Now let me give you an illustration tonight. I've got tonight a glove, and I want to use that for an illustration of what I'm talking about. Now I can lay that glove down right there, and that glove is helpless. That glove is lifeless. That glove is dead. It has no power that it can get up and move or do anything. It's as dead as can be. It cannot see. It cannot smell. It cannot hear. It cannot taste. I mean, it has none of the five senses. It's just dead. Amen. That's all it is. It's dead. It has no life to it whatsoever. That's exactly what we were before God saved us. The Bible said that we were dead in trespass and sin. That means that we were like that glove. We were as lifeless as that glove. We had no power. We had no life within us. We had no strength within us. I mean, we were just dead. Just like that glove. That's exactly what we were before we were saved. We were dead to God. You say, "Well, preacher, why were we dead to God?" Because
and we were born spiritually dead. Now, a lot of people, they don't understand what dying means. They don't understand what death is. All that death is, it's a separation. That's all it is. When you die physically, your soul and your spirit leaves your body. It separates from your body, and that's what we call death. That is physical death. But the Bible tells us, amen, about spiritual death and where it came from. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, you remember how God told Adam, God said you can eat of every tree in the garden but one. He said the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree, amen, of the knowledge of good and evil. He said in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And you know in chapter 3 what happened? The serpent came. That's the first time you'll find a question mark in the Word of God. He said, yea, hath God said. And so you know what happened. They took of the fruit and they eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And God had told Adam that in the day he eat thereof, that he would die that day. Adam lived to be 930 years old. Adam did not die physically that day, but he died spiritually that day. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the God part of Adam left. You remember I was preaching last night, God took the dust of the earth and he breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. When God breathed into Adam, God breathed life into Adam. God breathed God into Adam. Yeah, he breathed God into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. But when Adam sinned, the God part of Adam left, separated from him. And he died spiritually that day. And because you and I are the offspring of Adam, amen, we're born dead in trespass and sin. The Bible said in Romans 5 and 12, it said, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon every man because all have sinned. So we were born spiritually dead. Now I realize that before we come to the age where, amen, we understand what sin is and we have a knowledge of sin, before we come to the age that we're convicted by sin, we call that the age of accountability in Baptist circles. When a child, amen, they've never come to the age where they grasp good and evil and they understand the knowledge of good and evil, then they're fine. They're okay. If they were to die, God would take them. And right? You say, how you know? Because when David's little baby died, he said, I'll go see him. And so we know that to be so. God takes care of those little ones that have not come to the knowledge of good and evil. But they're still born dead in trespass and sin. Born dead in trespass and sin. When God saved you and me, when God saved us, Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, ye must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man, can he enter into his mother's womb when he's old? But Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth, amen. A new birth, a spiritual birth. And when you were saved by the grace of God, that's exactly what happened. You were born again, amen. God put himself in you. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. That glove is dead. That glove cannot move. But I'm telling you, when you put life in that glove, hallelujah. Amen. It can wave at you, amen. It can shake your hand, amen. You say, why? Because it's got life in it, amen. And that's exactly what happened to you when you got saved. God put life in you. Isn't that good? Amen. I mean, hey, that's God. That blood can't do anything. It's dead. But when you put life in it, it's got all kinds of power. Yeah. It can do all kinds of things. Amen. And that's exactly what happened when you were saved. You were born again by the Spirit of God, and God moved inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? It amazes me to think that God would move into me. Hallelujah. I mean, hey, if you're saved, God lives in you. For it is God that worketh in you. God works in you. Yeah. You see that? It's got life in it. That's exactly what you have if you're saved by the grace of God. You have got life in you. And it's the life of God. Amen. And it always amazes me to think that God that spoke everything into existence would move into little old me. That's amazing. Now, God works in you, you see. Yeah, He works in you. Just like that. That glove was dead. That glove was lifeless. But when it got life in there, it can do all kinds of stuff. It might even get a five. You reckon? You give me a five, buddy. Look at that. Hallelujah. Hey, that glove could have never got that. It's got life in it now. It can move and it can wave and it can shake and it can do all kinds of stuff because now it's got life in it. Amen. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you've got the life of God in you. Amen. That amazes me that God would move into you and me. I'm telling you, that glove can do what it could not do before because it has life. So, now God works in you. Do you know how powerful that really is? The Bible says it like this in 1 John 4:4. It said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. I mean, God lives in you. And God lives in me if you're saved by the grace of God. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're dead in trespasses and sin. You're dead. And the Bible said ye must be born again. Except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is not a physical birth. It's a spiritual birth. And if you've never been born of the Spirit of God, you've never been saved. And you're dead in trespass and sin. You're just like that blood. You're powerless. You're lifeless. Bible said, talking about Jesus in John, said in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Only Jesus can put that life in you. Amen. So God works in you. God saves you and God gets in you and God works in you. The Bible said, work out your own salvation. That doesn't mean you work for your salvation. That means you work out what God puts in. Amen. Work out your own salvation. When God moves into your heart, then you can do something for God. Amen. So God works in you. But not only that, God works on you. Yeah. God works on you. You know why God works on you? Did you read that scripture there? It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God works on you to conform you to His will. Amen. That's the truth. Even after we're saved, sometimes we don't want to do what God wants us to do, even though we've got the life of God in. So God works on us, doesn't He? That little song the young'uns sing, He's still working on me. to make me what I ought to be. That's right. God works on us. And sometimes that's not always pleasant, is it? Sometimes that's pretty tough, isn't it? When God works on us. You see, sometimes the correction of God, the chastisement of God, is not always easy, is it? But He's working on us to conform us to His will. Amen. I've said this before. When I was a little boy, my mom and daddy worked on me to conform me to their will. Amen. That's right. I told Mama no about one time. And Daddy conformed me to His will. Amen. And I didn't tell Mama no more because I knew Daddy had conformed me to His will. Right. And God works on us to conform us to His will. And it's not always pleasant, but God does it because He loves us. Amen. Look in Hebrews chapter 12 if you have your Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll read about that. Hebrews 12, down about verse number 5. Notice what He says in this scripture. He said, I'll wait till you get turned. Now, I don't want to read before you get there. Brother Wynn said in our revival, Brother Wynn said, he said, a preacher will tell you to turn to so-and-so and then he'll take off before you get there. Now, he said it like this in Hebrews 12, beginning verse number 5. Said, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You see, sometimes God, it's God's will that we go in this direction and we decide we're going to go that direction. And so God has to work on us to bring us back to His direction, amen. And it's not always pleasant. Sometimes there's storms of correction and trials of correction. Sometimes there's storms of perfection, amen, and trials of perfection. But God works it all to us for our benefit and for His glory. Amen. God works on us. I heard one time, this fellow, I don't remember who said it, this fellow's talking about this deacon that's praying. Said they got around the altar and they went to praying. Said that old deacon said, Lord, he said, you know I don't like plain old flour. And then he said, Lord, he said, you know I don't like baking soda. And he said, Lord, you know that I don't like, you know I don't like lard. And them other fellows say, what's the matter that fellow praying? He said, Lord, you know I don't care much for buttermilk. But he said, Lord, when it all gets stirred together and cut out and put in the oven, he said, Lord, I sure do love new biscuits. Amen. What I'm saying is when God works on us, it's not always pleasant, but when God gets it stirred all together and puts it in the oven, amen, the finished product's wonderful. Amen. So God works in us and God works on us, amen, amen, to conform us to His will. You know, we don't always, and it's not always chastisement. We're not always being chastened when God works on us for walking out of the will of God. Sometimes we're right in the middle of the will of God. And something comes on us and we just can't figure it out. I thought about Paul and Silas. They were preaching the gospel, amen, in Philippi, and the next thing they knew, they were laying in jail, beat half to death. They were right in the middle of the will of God. But yet they got beat, and they got thrown in jail. I bet you that wasn't pleasant, was it? Bet you that wasn't fun. You reckon it might have ran through their mind? What in the world is going on here? Why in the world here we're preaching and people being saved and we're turning the world upside down for Jesus? What in the world is going on? finished product. Look at what God done when God was finished. There was an old jailer there that needed to be saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. There was a jailer there whose heart was so hard, nothing could break it. Except Paul and Silas being thrown in jail and that man hearing their prayers and the word of God. Yeah. Wasn't pleasant for Paul and Silas, but God saved an old jailer, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God. You may wonder why you go through what you're going through. Do you realize it might be so that somebody else could be saved? So that you would have a testimony to them. Sometimes we go through things because we can't understand what others are going through till we've been there. And God knows that somewhere down the road, we're going to meet somebody that's walking that path. And because we walk that path, we can help them and share the gospel with them like nobody else ever could. Just because of what God's doing in our life and how God's working on us. That's why Paul said, I glory in my tribulation. Because he knew his tribulations were a direct result of God working in his life.
Amen.
That amazes me. You say, well, I don't understand why I've gotten sick. I don't understand why this had to happen, why that had to happen. God's just working on you. He's just working on you. Amen. To conform you, amen, to what he wants you to be. So God works in us and God works on us. And why does God work in us and on us? So that God can work through us. Yeah. You see, what God does is God moves in us just like that right there. And he puts life in us. You know, that's the best day I've ever experienced. Sister Kathy, when God moved in me, and God got in me, and God got to working on me, I'm telling you, that's the greatest day of my life. When God moved in me. And if you're saved, God lives in you. That's why the Bible says he's a jealous God. Because he's jealous over you. Because he lives in you.
Right.
You're not your own. You're bought with a price. So God moves in you. And then God, you can see that old glove. It's wore. It's about got a hole in one of the fingers. Right there. Boy, God starts patching up some things, doesn't he? He starts working on you. Amen. Fixing you up to what you need to be so that he can work through you. So he can do something. He's in you. He works on you that he can work through you. That old blood can't do anything. And you and I, we can't do anything. I hear people say, they say, preacher, I can't. Ask somebody to do something, they say, preacher, I can't. Well, they're right, they can't. We're all can't-ites. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Amen. We can't do anything, but with God in us, with God in us, we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Isn't that what Philippians 4:13 says?
Uh-huh.
He says God works through us. And there's nothing God cannot do. Do you know that? That's why God doesn't need our ability, because he's got all the ability it takes. He just wants our capabilities.
Right.
He's in us and works on us and he's ready to work through us. Amen. You know, God could have used anything. He didn't have to use us, Brother Wynn. Why, the trees could have preached the gospel. Yeah, the trees could have preached the gospel, the rocks. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he rode into Jerusalem and they had the bombs and they said, hell, the king of Jews. When he come riding through there and those Pharisees said, you be quiet, you hush up. Jesus said, why? He said, if they were still, he said, the When we get up every morning, heaven, God gets up with us. When we go to bed at night, God goes to bed with us. And wherever we go, God goes. So you better be careful where you go.
Amen.
That's right. You see, He wants to use our hands and our feet, and He wants to use our voice. John the Baptist, what was he? Voice of one crying in the wilderness. God used His voice, didn't He? And you know, God will use our hands, and God will use our feet, and God will use us if we'll let God use us. Hey, if God could use a whale, if God could use a donkey or a rooster to crow, surely He'd use you and me.
Amen.
If we'll let Him. If we'll let Him. See, God, He gets in us. Just like that. He moves inside us. I tell you, that amazes me every time I put that glove on. I can't even put on my work gloves without thinking about that, brother. God moves in us. Amen. He works in us. He works on us. And He'll work through us if we'll let Him work through us. Amen. But then not only that, you think about the power that's in us. What is one of the primary reasons that God took up residence within us? One of the primary reasons we find in the Scripture. Didn't Jesus say to the disciples, He said, "Tarry ye at Jerusalem until you be endued from power from on high." Now what He said? Look at Acts chapter 1. Look what Jesus said. Acts chapter 1. What is the ultimate purpose for every Christian? For every child of God? What is the ultimate purpose of God living and dwelling within us? Acts 1 and verse number 8. Notice what He says. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." The primary purpose of God moving within us is that we could tell somebody about what God did for us. That's exactly right. When God moved in us so He would have a voice, so He would have hands and feet, amen, to tell the world about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He said, in the Holy Ghost, said, "Tarry at Jerusalem till you be endued with power." Because He knew they couldn't do anything. He knew they were powerless until He moved in them. But when He moved in them, they had all the power they needed to do whatever God wanted them to do. You see. So that brings up the question, are we allowing God to work through us? You know, the Bible says, "Quench not the Holy Spirit of God." The Bible says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." You know what that word "quench" means? You know. That word "quench" in a picture is this. You've got it. You've got a fire built, and you take a bucket of water and you put it out. Amen. Oh, and God starts working in us and building that fire up, and sometimes we just say no, and we go, psh, and we'll put it out. Be careful. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in us. He wants to work through us. But then last of all, look at this last thought. God works in us, God works on us, and God will work through us. That's what He means, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But then last of all, God works for us. He works in us, on us, through us, but He works works for us. There's not a day that goes by that God is not working for you. And God is not working for me. Every moment of every day, every second of every day. Amen. God has got something going on in our life. And we may not always recognize it. We may not always realize it. But God is always working for us.
Yeah.
All the time. I remember one time Brother Dean Ward preached a message. God's got something going on while we're going on. And he was preaching on Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain. And you remember how that Abraham was taking Isaac up, Genesis chapter 22, is that what it is? He's taking him up the side of the mountain because God said, sacrifice thine only son Isaac. And Abraham obeyed God and he's taking Isaac up the side of that mountain. And as they were going up through there, Isaac had, he was carrying the wood and he said to Abraham, he said, Father, and Abraham said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God shall provide himself the lamb. What Abraham was saying is, son, God's working for us. God's working for us. And you know what God is doing? While Abraham and Isaac was coming up this side of the mountain, that old ram was coming right up the other side of the mountain. Hallelujah. Because God is working for them, amen. And God's working for you. You may not see what's around the next bend or around the next corner in your life, but I guarantee you, amen, God's working for you. For we know, Romans 8 and 28, one of our favorite verses, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. God is working for us every day of our life. And though we may not understand it, though we may not know all about what God's doing, God has a purpose for everything that comes into our life. There are no accidents with the children of God. Did you know that? None whatsoever. You don't just happen to get sick. God has a purpose in it. You don't just happen to go through this trial or go through that trial. Now, every trial, amen, is not always of God, but God always allows every trial. Amen. Sometimes we get into trials of our own making. Amen. And God allows it to be, but He's still working for us all the time. So, whatever you go through in life, if you don't remember anything else, you remember when you got saved by the grace of God, God moved inside of you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of you. If God's not living in you, then you've never been saved by the grace of God. If God's not living in you, you've never been born again of the Spirit of God. If God doesn't dwell within you, you've never been saved by the grace of God. In order for God to move in order for God to move in and put life in you, all that sin has to be taken care of because sin and God cannot coexist. And the fact is, God has already done everything God needed to do to take care of your sin if you'll believe it. If you'll trust Him. Christ went to Calvary's cross and died for our sin. Shed His blood for our sin. He that knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He died and paid our sin debt. And the moment we believe that and receive that promise in our own heart, that very moment we're born again of the Spirit of God. And God goes, and he moves in. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And Brother Wynn's taught and preached on this. Amen. One of the Greek words for spirit is pneuma. It means air. It means breath. God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. God breathed the Spirit of God into Adam. When Adam sinned, the Spirit of God left Adam. But through what Jesus did at Calvary, God will move back into us. Hallelujah. To the Lamb of God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Amen. God.